Follow him for sure. I was listening to the radio the other day, and my truck, as I said before, is sort of permatuned to Praise FM. At least in the mornings, my daughter and I have an agreement in the morning. On the way to school, I get the radio. On the way back home, she gets it, so we go to a different station. But the announcer on there was just talking about God and how glorious he is. And it just hit me when they said, the same God who parted the Red Sea is the same God that we worship. Throughout time, throughout space, I mean, yeah, the same exact one that wants a personal relationship with each one of us. And I just thought, wow, wow, wow. We serve an incredible God, amen? And we do. And he is here with us every day and in every moment. So, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We acknowledge your presence, and we just look forward to living for you, to serving you, and to hearing from you, from your word, which we're going to do right now.
Good morning. The first reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The second reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, always submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And the third reading is from Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 through 20. Jesus speaking. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your presence here this morning and for your word, Lord. You inspired the writing of this, Lord. You can help us to properly interpret it. So thank you for your word, which uplifts us, which instructs us, which guides us, and shows us the way. Amen. Alrighty. So for the next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at the way this Sunday, the truth next Sunday, and then the life. This comes, of course, from John 14. Where Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Wow, yeah, love it. The reassurance in that he's gone to prepare a place for us. If we receive what he's done for us and believe in him, he's prepared a place. And if God's prepared it, you know it's got to be good. It's going to be incredible. And we just got to find the way to that place. And Jesus, of course, is the way. There is no other way. There's a lot of different roads you can take in life, but there's, you know, Jesus is the only way to get to this place. So when I was thinking about the way, it can be think about that in many ways. In Acts, the way was the original Christian movement. The early church, they were called the way. These were the new believers. A lot of them were former Jews. Many were Gentiles, but they were following the teachings of Jesus. They were called the way. The way comes up in many other places and contexts, of course, with the Bible. But, you know, Proverbs, I turn to that because there's so much wisdom. The Proverbs are something you wouldn't want to just blast through. You read this one. Just take one a day or something. Think about it. Meditate on it. You know, chew on it. There's so much to it. But one proverb that speaks about the way, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Every day we got choices of different paths we can follow, different things we can do. Some are pretty dang tempting, and they may not be the right one, of course. We want to follow in God's way. So we have to try to get discernment to figure out which path to follow in any situation. And there is a way that appears to be right, as is written here. Looks like a good path. Looks like it's right, but in the end, it leads to death. Some of these paths are very tempting. It's the devil's going to be, you know, trying to lead you, mislead you, or something like that. It'll be like, ooh, shiny object, right? And we're going to want to follow it at times. We have to be wary of that. The devil's in the details, huh? Okay, he's everywhere, of course, trying to mislead us and his minions with him. Very real. But he's going to try to affect thinking many times. If he can affect the way that people think, because thoughts lead to actions, of course. And we see that. What people just following what they think is right, the way that appears to be right to them, but it's not. And I always have to stop and ask myself, one of my favorite sayings, I guess, what's more important, what we think or what God says? Yeah. That one should be a duh, okay? They say there's no such thing as a stupid question, but all right. But sometimes we get thoughts, you know, individually or else collectively. You see whole groups of people chasing after other beliefs or other things or making up their own, right? We can stray individually, but sometimes you see a group of people, even a church can be misled, or sometimes an entire denomination. And that is really sad. When I drive by those churches, I pray truth is what I do. Just that word truth. I speak it out loud. People are following what they think is right. They're following someone who's telling them what their itching ears want to hear. And that path is going to lead to destruction. Narrow is the way, right? The broad is the path and many follow it. We've seen examples of that yet today. God also inspired Solomon to write Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A very famous one here, of course. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Again, not what we think is right. Not what we think, but what he says. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. So it starts out with trust. Trusting in the Lord, right? Even when it doesn't make sense to us. Trust in him. Our minds can come up with all kinds of things. We can try to justify things. We can try to reason our way into other things. But we got to trust in what God says. What does he say right here? Okay. Here at Shalom, this is what we do. We follow this. Not the teachings of people, the teachings of God. And may we interpret them properly. That's sometimes the challenge. But to trust in him. And who better to trust in, right? We've all trusted in people at times, maybe that have let you down. You had great trust in this person. Things are just looking great. And all of a sudden, they let you down. You find out, is God ever going to let you down? No. He is not. You can place all your trust in him securely, completely. He is not going to let you down. He's not that kind of God. I mean, he's the ultimate. He is good. He is perfect. He is light. There is no darkness in him. So yes, absolutely put your trust in him. And trust in the Lord, it says, with all your heart. Not just part of your heart. Lord, I'll trust you in this situation, but I still want to follow my own thinking in this. No, completely is what he asks. And that's the hard part, surrendering completely, perhaps. We still want to, God, I'm going to give you this part of my life, and hey, I'll, you know, 95%, how's that, God? I just want to keep this little thing for myself. Yeah, Trust him with all your heart. Follow him with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Human minds are great. They're incredible. We've been given a precious gift. You know, a couple pounds of grayish-pinkish mush that's no batteries, no moving parts. But yet it can create symphonies. It can do works of art. It can do mathematical calculations. It can remember things for decades. I mean, what an incredible gift. And it can understand things. But not to lean on our own understanding, not always what makes sense to us, because there is one whose ways are higher, right? God's ways are higher. And it might make total sense to us, but if it doesn't line up with what God says, if it's diverging, nope, time to get reoriented, get that compass out, and follow him, right? Follow his will for you. So don't lean on your own understanding, because there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to destruction, as we just heard. And what happens then if you trust in him, if in all your ways you submit to him? And submitting isn't always easy either, because we're, like he described the people of Israel, a stiff-necked people, right? Anybody else sort of stubborn sometimes? Anybody else sort of rebellious at times, even with God? Yeah. Wanting to do it our way, leaning on our own understanding. But in all your ways, submit to him, and that takes a little bit of doing, surrendering especially. You know, it goes against a lot in me, almost everything in me, to surrender. Might be the military background, but to surrender completely to God. Submit to him. Let him guide you. And he will make your path straight. All right. A straight path to follow. It's not always going to be an easy path, of course. We're going to hear about that in a little bit. But he will make your path straight. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll make your path straight. So God's the boss, we're not. How do I follow him? What does this look like? Well, we heard about that today in Deuteronomy, going way back towards the beginning here. And God is addressing his people. He did that a lot, that through Moses. He would speak through him to his people. He spoke to the prophets of old, and he speaks in many different ways yet today. And he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." Alrighty, so we had several different commands there. Was the Lord asked? And if God's asking, hey, we ought to be listening and we ought to be following through. First one, to fear the Lord your God. Again, this is not a trembling, scary fear. This is a deep respect for God. To fear him, the fear of God. And if we have that deep respect for him, that deep love for him, of course we're going to follow him. Of course we're going to want to live in communion with him, and we're going to want to do what he says. We're not trying to earn anything with him by living a good life. Indeed, we can't earn salvation. Works won't get you there. Only Jesus will. But to honor him, to acknowledge him in everything we say and do. So to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, following in his ways. We could walk other paths, of course, and we have in our lives. I know I have, and a lot of you, or most everybody at once in a while has strayed from the path. If you want to admit it, get back on that path. Walk in obedience to him. And he'll walk with you. It's the other cool thing. He'll walk with you. Right by your side. And you know, the Holy Spirit dwells within you too, right inside you. Listen to that voice. So walk and fear him. Walk in obedience to him. Love him. If you love someone, you care about them. You take their feelings into consideration, of course, like being married or something like that. You're walking in love. You're showing love. And there's this connection. There's this wanting to be with the other person. I was just counseling a couple the other day in premarital, and they just, you know, they're young, and they are just, when they look at each other, you just see it in their eyes. You just know. I mean, they are just in love with each other. Shouldn't we be even more so with God? In love with him. Because how deep is his love for you? That's humbling, isn't it? That he loves us that much? Of course we're going to love him in return, and we ought to. So fear him, walk in obedience, love him. Next is to serve the Lord your God. To make yourself available that he can work through us, to serve the people in the world around us and to serve him in the process. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is completely, again, making yourself completely available to him. And finally, to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. To observe his commands and decrees. And, oh, we got to follow rules, huh? Dang it. Okay. Of course we want to follow his rules because they are for our good. All the commands that he had laid down for the people in the Old Testament and that he still lays down today, they are for our good. And his commands, it says in 1 John, are not burdensome. Again, they're for our good. They're not, okay, you got to do this way, you got to follow this, and it's really strict. No, they're for our good. It's because he loves us and he cares about us, right? Think about raising kids or something like that. You could just let them run free and not, you know, try to guide them or let them run out the road or whatever. No, if you care for them, you're going to make rules. You don't go past that sidewalk near that road, right? You're going to have rules that show that you care. They're made out of love. And that's what God's rules are. His commands, they're out of love for us. They're out of concern. They're for our own well-being because we are tempted to follow our own way, right? We have to walk in his ways instead. Not just do what seems right to us all the time. Sometimes that is aligned with God, though. That's right. When it seems right to us to do his will, I mean, hey, wonderful, go for it. That's great. All right, so we got all these things about following in God's ways and to honor him then, to love him, to serve him, to observe his commands, to fear him. All these things, this is how we can express that. This is how we can walk in his ways. Well, Jesus also addressed it. And we heard that in our reading for today. Walking the right way. Again, we have choices. And he talked about two paths. He said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I find that said that only a few are finding this way to life, whereas the majority are going down this other path. If we were to follow in the ways of this world, we would just mindlessly follow everybody else. No, we seek to follow God instead. But that broad path, we got to show people the off-ramp on that and how to get back on that narrow path and to seek God and to find him. We want to avoid that well-trodden path. When you see everybody else doing it, you know, it's just like your mom asking your kid, everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you, right? Oh, yeah, I'm just going to blindly follow along with everybody else, not think for myself, you know. No, don't be that way. Don't be one of the mindless masses, right? We are not to be conformed to the ways of this world. Romans 12:2, right? Do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know and do the perfect will of God. So yeah, don't be a conformist. When everybody else is, the whole world's chasing after something else, we're chasing after God. Culture's path is very different. You know, going after possessions or lifestyles or anything goes where they get to make up their own rules. No. We seek to follow God and to live by his rules, which are made for our good. Of course, we're in this world, but not of it. We do mingle and mix with the other people, and that's wonderful because we can tell them about God, what he's done for us. Tell them about Jesus and how much he loves us. And maybe we can lead some onto the right path. Lord, use us for that purpose. Again, it should disturb us that so many are going down that broad path to destruction, a way that seems right to them, but in the end leads to destruction. And there's people that are leading them that way too. Jesus addressed that next. This follows right on the heels of it. It's connected. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. These people are leading many down that broad path. In sheep's clothing, they look innocent. They might even speak words that sound really good. They might speak words that sound like they line up with Scripture. You got to be careful who you follow. These people are going to tell others what their itching ears want to hear, as is written later on in the Bible there. And they're going to, okay, yeah, I like what this person's saying. This makes sense to me. I'm going to just follow that. But in the end, they're not bearing good fruit. You got to look at the fruit. The trouble is that sometimes fruit looks good on the outside. But once you bite into it, maybe you have that experience where, okay, yeah, that was not good. And, yeah. So you got to examine it. Is someone bearing good fruit? Alrighty, so seeking to follow the narrow path, not the broad one. Because that broad one is well trampled, well trodden, and it looks pretty doggone easy. Is the narrow path always easy? No. Jesus said, daily, pick up your cross and follow me. It's not always going to be easy living that life, but he is with you. He will guide you, and he's going to give you what you need to get through those tough times. Yeah, that path's going to be full of obstacles. It's going to wind around at times. It's going to be steep at times. There's going to be things in the way. But no, he will guide you. And at times, like that poem, Footprints in the Sand, he's going to be carrying you through it. Sometimes the only way you get through something in life is because God is there carrying you through it. In the tough times. He's also there in the good times dancing with you. There's a follow-up poem to that, Footprints in the Sand, or you know, you see the two sets of footprints, then you just see one in the tough times, it goes back to two, and the guy asks God, you know, what's the deal here? Why is there only one set of footprints in the tough times? You know, where were you? He said, oh, I was carrying you. That makes sense. Beautiful. As they get along further, they see this big jumble of footprints. And what's up with that? He said, that's where we danced. And wow. So yeah, he's not there not only in the bad times, but also in the good times. He's there with you and just wants you to live life with him. And he's going to make that way. He is way maker, among other things. So the narrow path, not always easy, but he's with you. And not only him, these people sitting around you. Hopefully we're all walking that same path. If you don't know about it, ask someone sitting here, ask me later on, I'll tell you about this path, about this way of following Jesus, and all the wonderful things that it has along the way, the wonderful people you get to travel with, because traveling companions make it even more fun. If you're just having a trip together, going somewhere together, it just makes it more fun. And you can talk to others, you can lean on them at times. And I have to believe that there's not a single person here that if you ask them to pray with you, they'll turn you down. That if you're having a tough time, you could call them up and they would take the time for you. We are traveling this together, folks. And a path leads somewhere to a destination. And this narrow way, yeah, it's going to lead to something that's more incredible than we can ever imagine. So let us find ways to invite other people. We're going to be sort of a minority here on earth at times. It tells us that. Only if you find it. Have I ever experienced being a minority? I guess over in Germany, yeah, I was over there in the military. I didn't speak the language. I felt left out. You know, people are doing all kinds of things, and I'm just sort of, okay, this is what a minority feels like. It was sort of a good insight to that. I didn't really fit in. But, yeah, we are not to fit in with the ways of this world. We're not to follow that broad path. We're going to invite people onto our path instead. And we're going to support them through it as well, because it gets fun to travel with others. So the choice of paths. Perhaps this is what Robert Frost wrote about in his famous poem, where he ended it with, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Amen.